The following is an evening darshan given by His Divine Grace Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj and His Divine Grace Srila Rameshwara Swami Maharaj, recorded on May 10, 1979 in Los Angeles.
First time I met Jayananda was in San Francisco in 1960. I think it was the beginning of 68. End of 67. He was the president at that time of the San Francisco Temple. So, actually, he was maintaining the temple single-handedly. He had a job as a cab driver. So, I remember that he used to give the class in the morning. And his class, his whole class was that he would describe the different people that he picked up in a taxi cab. And in this way he would describe how hellish material life was and how there was no happiness at all. He would just describe one person after another. So, then, after a while, of course, he was very much, you could imagine how sincere a personality he was. When he joined this movement, he gave Srila Prabhupada $5,000. Whatever he had, his full earning, full savings account, he gave everything over to his spiritual master. And later on, Srila Prabhupada used this book for the printing of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the first printing of it. So he was so sincere and hard-working all day long. First in the morning he would give the class very often, then he would go to work all day, and then as soon as he came home at night he would start to repair whatever one or two vehicles we had, he would repair them. And then there would be some evening program and he would attend that. I remember his hands were always covered with grease. And he would wash them off and then come for the evening program. So after a while, Srila Prabhupada felt that others should also help to support the temple. So he advised us that we all go and get jobs. So we all went out and got different jobs. And then Prabhupada gave a hint later on that we could do Sankirtan. He said, if you want to know another way, he sent word through Garga Muni, if you want to know another way, how to, he said, go out and Sankirtan. So we went out and we formed a Sankirtan party every day going out. It was the first actually organized Sankirtan party. And after a while we took a van. Garga Muni had to flee the city on account of some accident he was in. So he sold me his van for a very cheap price, and I organized the first traveling party. We came to Los Angeles, to Hollywood Boulevard. Srila Prabhupada. First Srila Prabhupada.
Maharaj, maybe you can explain this point.
Yes, because now this offering is prasad. So it doesn't matter whether you're Srila Prabhupada's disciple or Srila Rameshwara Maharaj's disciple. Now you're offering prasadam. So you can't, we as the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, we can take his prasadam. This is Bhagavat prasad. And now after Srila Prabhupada takes it, it's Maha Bhagavat prasadam. And then after Srila Rameshwara Maharaj takes it, it's Maha Bhagavat prasadam. So, we, as the disciples, we can only take the prasad of our spiritual master. So first you have to offer. It's not that you're offering direct, you're offering him prasadam. Just like if Srila Prabhupada is sitting here, Srila Rameshwara Maharaj would never allow you to first present some prasadam to himself. He would want his spiritual master first to take. So you can first offer to Prabhupada, then to him. So, anyway, when Srila Prabhupada came, he had left to go to the East Coast, and then he came back. And, Hare Krishna. He came back, and when he came back, he was very happy to see this traveling Sankirtan party that we had organized. And he told Jayananda that I was preaching to Jayananda to leave this temple like I always preach. This is better to go and travel and preach with us. So I convinced him, and he gave up his position as president, and he joined our party and became, from president, he became the driver. So he's very humble. I recall when we got Gayatri Mantra, so we went to see Srila Prabhupada, because Jayananda was having a little trouble chanting the mantras. So Prabhupada said, well, go ahead and chant. So he started to chant, and Prabhupada just broke up and started to laugh. Prabhupada just shook his head and he said, you boys will never learn to pronounce the Sanskrit. He said, but it doesn't matter. He said, Krishna will understand the feeling. So, anyway, we had our party and Jayananda would drive us everywhere. Then we went to different places. Then we came to Los Angeles gradually, and Prabhupada, after some time, established our temple at La Cienega Boulevard. And then Jayananda became the gardener. And he planted, his gardening was that everywhere he would go and beg flowers. He got everything for free. I never saw him buy anything. He would go begging, and he planted 108 rose bushes and 4 gardenia bushes. And he became the gardener there. And every time he would take all opportunity to preach. Whoever would come his way, he would speak to them. I remember sometimes people would come asking, they would say, where is that? They'd call him Jayananda. They didn't pronounce his name Jayananda. And he would always give opportunity to people whenever he would engage them. He would engage them somehow. So then after that, Prabhupada printed teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and since Jayananda Prabhu had paid for it, he gave Jayananda the great benediction that now you can distribute all these books. And he gave him the entire charge of distributing. 50% he sent to the East Coast and 50% we had, and he gave him the whole 50% to distribute. That must have been at least, I think it must have been 5,000 printing.
Yeah, it was exact.
So he had to distribute 2,500 of them himself. I mean, it was... And then he went. He got a little VW Volkswagen car, and he went from store to store all over the California coast, single-handedly, and every day he would sell 2 books, 3 books, in 8 or 10 hours. And going on, tirelessly going on. I never saw him become discouraged once. He went on like that for at least a half a year. And then gradually, Madhavisa went up from Los Angeles to San Francisco to become the president, so he assisted. And then they organized a very good Ratha Yatra. So, then I went to India after that. Then I came back in 1974. I had the good fortune. Again, I came back, and I came to Los Angeles, and I stayed for one night or something. And Vishnu Jan and I went up to Berkeley, and there Jayananda greeted me, I remember, at the airport. I was very happy to see him. So, I had a little association at that time. Anyway, somehow, again, I got him to quit the temple and join my party again. And so we had a nice opportunity to be together on the Radha Damodar party. And one thing I observed, one Ratha Yatra in 75, I think it was, that I observed a very amazing pastime of Jayananda's on Ratha Yatra. That he was in the front of the Ratha Yatra. So he was urging everyone to pull the ropes, to pull Lord Jagannath. And he was madly telling them, pull, pull, you know. He was shouting at them to pull the cart. And then he would race around to the other side, and he would tell everyone at the same time to pull in the opposite direction. Just as enthusiastically, tell them to stop, the cart is going too fast, pull it backwards. And this way he was running from one end to the other end of the car, and the people were having tugs of war. The car would go forward, sometimes it would stop. And he was completely immersed. I never saw anyone so immersed in Ratha Yatra as I saw Jayananda Prabhu. It was a complete state of ecstasy. I mean, he was totally, completely unconscious of his body, completely absorbed in the ceremony of Ratha Yatra, just as we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was the closest that I have ever seen anyone experience in the pastime of Ratha Yatra, as we read about it in the Madhya Lila Volume 5. It was totally ecstatic. He was completely absorbed in Ratha Yatra. So his whole mood was always like this. And there are so many other pastimes I'm sure that other people know. Certainly he was the most humble devotee that any one of us ever met of Prabhupada's disciples. Certainly the most humble of all. And there was no question he was the most humble devotee I ever met of Prabhupada's disciples. And the most hard, so hard-working, actually he is a pure devotee. There's no doubt. He's a completely pure devotee. He had no material ambition, no personal selfish ambition. Such a pure devotee. And from a very ordinary background, Prabhupada, this is Prabhupada's eternal disciple, associate, picked him up, and he went back to Godhead. So every one of us should also want to go back to Godhead, lead our lives in such an exemplary way, emulate these qualities by hearing about them like this. Jayananda Prabhu ki jai.
Jai.
Another question? One for Srila Rameshwar Maharaj.
I was not living in San Francisco, so the most time I spent with Jayananda was the last portion of his life, and I already spoke on that this morning. But the first time I met Jayananda, I was living in the Portland temple for some time, and in these smaller temples, it was considered our greatest ecstasy to be able to travel to another temple and see that there were other devotees. We were living, I think, with about four or six devotees in our Portland temple. So I was staying there for about September, October, six, 7 months maybe, 5-6 months. And then our president, who was Lochan Prabhu, he is now engaged at our faith studio. He's making these Prabhupada Murtis. So at that time he was commissioned to make a huge Murti of Lord Chaitanya in time for the spring festival, the Lord Gaur-Purnima festival in Berkeley, which Jayananda was organizing with Keshava. So we were very eager to go down to San Francisco to see the other devotees, having never seen devotees. So we convinced Lochan to take the whole temple down. So we drove day and night, and we arrived in the evening. The feast had been going on. This was a very wonderful feast, Gaur Purnima feast. This was the temple on Valencia Street, 1971. And they had in this one huge room many, many barrels of prasadam. Rows and rows of prasadam were lined up. So by the time we arrived, most of the devotees had already taken much of this prasadam, but there were still many barrels left. There were about, I think I remember, 8 different types of dal, different halavas, at least 5 or 6 different types of sabjis, puris. These were the types of festivals that Jayananda would organize. Huge, huge feasts. And when we finally arrived in the temple room, all the devotees, they were actually exhibiting symptoms of intoxication. I saw one devotee. I was very surprised. He had taken 25 cups of dal. And he was staggering about. So this was actually that night was my first meeting with Jayananda, because after the feast was completed, it was very late at night, and all the devotees had come from different temples, and the system was that devotees would sleep everywhere, sleep in the temple room, sleep in the hall, sleep everywhere they were sleeping. And Jayananda was the last one to go to take rest. And I remember I was sleeping out in the hall with him, and I was watching him. He was cleaning up the whole temple after the feast. Practically everyone was already gone to take rest. They were unconscious from the prasadam. But Jayananda, he also consumed a huge quantity of prasadam. But he stayed up very late at night. I remember it was 11, 12 even. He was cleaning the whole floor, getting it ready for the next morning. And then he was sleeping right by the door, which is where I was sleeping. Because in that old temple that is in a downtown area where many people who are drunkard, they sometimes wander in the middle of the night. So later I learned it was his habit to sleep there at night to guard the temple. As Srila Goswami Maharaj was saying, he was maintaining the whole temple when he was the president. So even when he wasn't the president, at that time Keshava was the president, but still Jayananda was doing everything. He was arranging to get all the food stuffs to be cooked for that feast. He was helping distribute the feast. He was taking the feast. Then he was cleaning up after the feast, arranging for all the devotees to have accommodations. And he was the last person to take rest at night. He would not take rest until the whole temple room was cleaned. And then where he took rest was in a position to guard the temple. And in this way, I got my first glimpse at a devotee who was trying to engage himself 24 hours a day in the service of the Lord. I had never seen anyone so intensely engaged. Everything he did was calculated to be helpful to the Lord. Even the way he took rest was designed to be service to the Lord, by sleeping right by the door to guard the temple of the Lord. So this formed a great impression on my mind, and we are trying to remember him in this way. Actually, he is a saint. That he would always be thinking 24 hours a day of serving Krishna. We should see this example, this practical example of pure devotion. Hare Krishna. So, some other questions. You can ask on this reading or on any topic you like. Or some of our guests may have some questions.
Yeah.
Speak louder, please.
Because Srila Sanatana Goswami is directly empowered by Lord Chaitanya to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So therefore his body is completely sacred and was meant for important acts of sacrifice. A devotee should understand that this body belongs to Krishna, not to me. If something belongs to you, you may take care of it, you may neglect it. But when you're given something which belongs to someone else to hold in care, then you have to take especially good care of it. So this body is offered to the devotee by Krishna. And it is meant, therefore, has to be very carefully cared for, looked after. So, Srila Sanatan Goswami is a pure devotee. So he's using his body given to him by Krishna in Krishna's service purely. But why should he have destroyed it or killed it? Why should he have destroyed this body, which would be so much use? So we don't deny the body or the use of the body. Jai Sisi Rukmini Dwarkadish, Jai Jagannath Dev, Jai Sisi Gornitai. Although our philosophy is that we are not this body, it doesn't mean that we neglect to destroy the body. We know the proper utilization of this body to be used in Krishna's service. It is a clear meaning, I think. Isn't it clear? Yes, sit down and listen every day, morning and evening. Krishna conscious sandwich. Every morning and every evening, you sit down and attentively listen. But you should understand that the attraction for Krishna has to be cultivated throughout the day. We have to arrange our schedule in such a way that we're always reminding ourselves of Krishna. The symptom of someone who is actually advanced is how much he relishes the chanting of Hare Krishna and the other glories of the Lord. This is the symptom of an advanced soul. If someone has no attraction for chanting Hare Krishna or hearing the Hare Krishna mantra or the glories of the Lord, it's to be understood that he is still contaminated by material disease. So we find that sometimes we're bored when listening to Krishna's glories. So that is a warning that the disease is again manifesting itself. Just like sometimes a person has a disease and he gets over it, but then again the symptoms begin to manifest themselves. You see. So we have to understand that the degree to which we relish Krishna's glories is a symptom of our advancement in Krishna consciousness. Just like I recall when I first came to this new building, that Srila Prabhupada would go out in the garden and simply hear the reading of Krishna book. He was so satisfied to hear Krishna's glories. Probably if we analyze, Prabhupada would listen to Krishna's glories so many hours in the day. From the time he got up, he would at least two hours translate Srimad Bhagavatam, the hearing Krishna. Then he would chant 16 rounds, another 2 hours, hearing Krishna. Then he would go on a morning walk and begin to talk and hear about Krishna, questions and answers. Then he would come, and that was another hour on the morning walk, 5 hours, and then hear, give the Srimad Bhagavatam class for another hour, 6 hours. Then during the day, so many devotional activities and businesses were going on, hearing letters, so many different works. And then in the afternoon he would again, there were many years, and when he again translated for another 2 hours. So that's 7 hours. And then in the evening he would give class or else hear for another hour, 8 hours. And he would chant more rounds, 10 hours. So even very obviously he was hearing at least for 10 hours a day. And of course a pure devotee is always hearing Krishna's glories. But this is demonstrate 10 hours of hearing. I remember one time on Janmashtami in Japan, I spent with Srila Prabhupada in Japan, that he sat very peacefully from, it must have been 8 or 9 in the morning until midnight, having me read Krishna book. He sat, it was difficult, very difficult for me. Someone else had to do it once in a while also. He sat peacefully for 15 hours listening to the Krishna book. That's taste. He's got taste. Attachment. So we have to develop that attachment, that taste. Therefore, this is the sign, because then that is pure love, and one can be satisfied in hearing and chanting, you see. This is the symptom of an advanced soul. Read Chaitanya Chaitamrita. What is the whole basis of Chaitanya Chaitamrita? Hearing, chanting, and taking prasadam. It's the whole basis of spiritual life. We think we have so many other activities to do, but these activities should form the basis of our spiritual life. You see. We may have other activities to do, so we should do them and get them done so that there can be more time for this business of hearing and chanting. Chaito Dharpana Majanam. This is the method. Parambijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. This is the real business. Shrindratam Sakata Krishna Punyashavana Kirtana. Constantly, 24 hours a day, hear and chant Krishna's glories. So we have to arrange our service in such a way that this becomes possible. Otherwise, how we will develop that taste? If there's too much attention given to other things, material sound vibrations, then when we come into the temple to hear, our mind finds difficulty in fixing itself on the spiritual vibration. There's so it's just like static when you're trying to tune in your television set, and there's so many other vibrations, frequencies coming over the set, and you can't get a clear image. It's the same way. You try to hear clearly or peacefully, but you can't because of all the static of the previous day's materialistic activities. So we have to be very careful that at all times we're remembering Krishna, because this is the perfection of spiritual life. Is that good enough? Another question?
I'd like to add one point.
Oh, yes.
And that is that we want to follow this program in the evening. For many years, we have been very famous, this temple, for doing all different types of service in the evening. So, we have been discussing, the different acharyas and sannyasis have been discussing, and we feel that although much service has been performed here, no one can deny, it has been one of the greatest examples of serving, spreading Krishna consciousness. But beneath the surface of all of this devotional activity of serving, there has to be a very strong spiritual foundation. Just like in a building, the building may be expanded and made opulent more and more and more. So, from the outward appearance, it appears to be very wonderful. So our performing devotional service in this community over the years is compared to that building. But we haven't been looking so intensely at the foundation. And everyone knows that if a foundation is neglected, then there may be so many difficulties, just like sometimes our buildings are attacked by termites. And you can't see them, but it is becoming weaker and weaker and weaker. And looking at it from the outside, you can't really tell that it's becoming weak. But the inside core is becoming a little weak. And then one day, suddenly it starts collapsing. So we have just seen recently different devotees. Recently, within the last few years, we have seen different devotees leaving. And everything is so wonderful. There's so much service going on, so much opportunity to serve Krishna. Still they leave, because this foundation has been neglected. That is the reason. So, just like when you find that your foundation is weak, there are some termites, you have to do such emergency work to cleanse away the bugs or to build up the foundation again. So this is the way I am seeing this community, that we have neglected to care for the foundation. It has to be maintained very nicely. Srila Prabhupada, many years ago, in his own handwriting, I remember when I first came to Los Angeles, I was transferred. Actually, that festival I was describing, they never let me go back to Portland. They sent me down to Los Angeles after that festival. So when I first came here, I went to see the GBC Kurandar at that time, and I went into his office, and framed in his office on the wall was one of the originals. It was a list of instructions written in Srila Prabhupada's own personal handwriting. I can't remember the exact wording, something to the effect. All initiated disciples are required to perform the following activities. And then it gave a list, 1 through 8. And one of them was chanting 16 rounds. One of them was coming to the Mangal Arti, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam class, worshipping the Tulsi plant, watering the Tulsi plant, performing Sankirtan, a pure devotee, a pure follower of Srila Prabhupada. And in whichever way we deviate from this list, that's how much difficulty and weakness and trouble we will have in becoming enlightened, in becoming God-conscious. So, although Srila Prabhupada has said, if you have very important service to do in the evening, in the past he has said so many things. One time during the press marathon for printing Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada said so many things about the evening program to the press devotees, that they were excused and so on. But now the time has come to take stock of our structure, our devotional creeper. It's the inside is a little weak due to neglecting the foundation. Therefore, we must establish, as Srila Goswami Maharaj is explaining, a strict program of hearing and chanting in the ISKCON sandwich, which will nourish us. And this hearing and chanting in the evening should not be done independently. It should not be done in the privacy of your apartments or your ashram. It should be done here in the temple room. That is what Prabhupada intended. Here you are sitting before the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada is present. We are sitting before the deity of Sri Sri Rukmini and Dwarkadish. We are sitting in the assembly of devotees. I was just reading in the Madhya Lila, Volume 8. It is explained that no matter how hard you practice devotional service, if you don't have the association of pure devotees, then you cannot receive or attain devotional service. You cannot actually independently come to the platform of spiritual consciousness. You must have association of pure devotees. It is not possible by your own endeavor, by anyone's own endeavor. Therefore, this hearing and chanting program should not be done privately or independently. Even you may prefer to read something else, but you are doing it on your own instead of taking the association of so many pure devotees. Therefore, the effect will not be as good. So we want to establish this in the evening. We have Monday through Thursday to assemble, and every night I can come. We can read together for 20 minutes or so, and then we can have questions and answers on any topics. And we can do this every night. In this way, we will hear the glories, the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and his pure devotees. And we can discuss all of these things. And from the dinner program, we should have many guests staying. And then we can answer many questions that they may have. So we should do this every night, Monday through Thursday. And then Friday night and Saturday night, our hearing and chanting program will be the kirtan. We have our Maha Kirtan. So, Dear Krishna Maharaj and I have been discussing this point. So the general rule is, we've already explained certain rules for living within the community, and the previous is to go see. So now we want to add this principle. To live in this community, one should come to the programs for hearing and chanting. Otherwise, we are maintaining someone who, by definition, must fall down. It is a matter of time. So what is the use of that type of association? So we want to make this a rule, to live in these buildings, to live in the ashram. We must come to the programs for hearing and chanting. So that will be we have our simple standards. Coming to the morning program, having the appearance of Vaishnava, coming to the evening program, not being independent. Very simple principles, and we can then apply them indiscriminately. that will make our managing very simple. So again, I want to just stress, this hearing and chanting must be done in the association of pure devotees in order for the proper effect to take place. That's why we are very grateful that Srila Goswami Maharaj has come. Actually, he has come so many thousands of miles just to help me establish this program here in New Dwarka. He is a pure devotee, and his potency makes the program have great effect.
Actually, Srila Ramaswamy Maharaj is the fit representative of Srila Prabhupada. Most fit. This is the most important temple in our movement, and he's the most qualified devotee in our movement. And therefore, he did. Actually, I was speaking to Yadavar Prabhu this afternoon, and I said that Srila Ramaswamy Maharaj's determination to make this a completely pure city, pure Krishna conscious community, is perfectly so strong. His Krishna consciousness is stronger than all of the Maya that anybody may have combined together. So, actually, there's a saying, if you can't beat them, then you have to join. So, my practical advice to anyone who thinks that they will be able to maintain a materialistic consciousness in this community is that you are fighting a losing battle. And we are simply coming to give encouragement and cheer on the general of the Sankirtan movement, but he is fully able, single-handedly, just as these great soldiers in the Mahabharata, they could take on 10,000 other soldiers easily. So he can easily take on handfuls of materialistic or contaminated or what you can say, mixed devotees, materialistic devotees. He will not stand in his presence. And this community is meant to be an example.
It's becoming unbearable.
In any case, I feel very confident about this, his determination in this way. So it's getting very late, I think. 9:15 already. Tomorrow is the appearance day of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his great and powerful form as Lord Nrisimhadev. So we observe fasting tomorrow until what time?
Till the rising of the moon. Actually, the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev takes place at the juncture of time between day and night. It was not daytime, it was not nighttime.
7:30, Kavichan, you checked?
Yeah, he appeared at twilight.
So when will the prasadam be distributed tomorrow?
Will it, has to be
before the program?
It has to be distributed before the program.
That would be better.
What is the time then? All right, very good. So I want to make one or two other announcements in this regard.
Yeah, someone told me it's Ekadasi prasadam. But it can be feasting. A Kadasi feast can be made. Should be a feast. And then the next day is the appearance of my little deities, Radha Damodar. Next time I come here, I'll try to bring them. They're very small, but you have binoculars, then you can see. They're the smallest deity in the movement. They're the size, Damodar is the size of the thumb. Very nice. Silver deity, and Radharani is made of pure gold.
So, also tomorrow is the appearance day of Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj's preaching in the western countries. He was sent by Srila Prabhupada from the west coast to open up the temple in London, and from there he was sent to India and he became the GBC. And then he took sannyas. And then in 1974, he arrived in America again to begin his preaching in the West on the appearance day of Lord Nrisimha, Nrisimha Dev. So this marks the fifth anniversary of his potent preaching. Nirvisesha sunyavadi paschatya deshatarane, serving Srila Prabhupada in this way, dispelling the ignorance of impersonalism and voidism in the Western countries.
Another special thing about tomorrow, the appearance day of Lord Nrisimhadev, is that our ferocious but very dear godbrother, His Divine Grace Srila Bhavananda Goswami, is going to manifest his transcendental form here in New Dwarka. He's arriving tomorrow morning about somewhere between 10 and 11. So we'll also be able to greet him. And I'm sure he will rip apart whatever Maya has left within us. Very powerful preacher of the Bhakti cult.
Actually, our zone was assigned this year by the GBC to be his brother zone for development of the Mayapur project. So we should give him a very heartfelt welcome. Because actually, the acharyas of the Krishna consciousness movement have given us the service to help build Mayapur through our preaching work. The more we build up our preaching work here, the more we will have to give in the form of all type of facility and service to the building of the dream of the acharyas, the Mayapur project. So that actually is a great blessing for our zone, that we have been given, we have been empowered by the GBC, the acharyas of our society, to be the brother in assisting for the development of Mayapur project. Very great blessing that we can have this special position of serving the Dham, of the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. The more we act in this capacity, the more Lord Chaitanya's blessings will be felt here, and in this way we will all become very full of transcendental bliss.
In this regard, Srila Prabhupada commented to me that anyone who helps to build this temple in Sridhar Mayapur, for any such person, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur will personally come and take him back to Godhead.
So we are very fortunate that we have been asked by all the acharyas in ISKCON to take this work up. So we do it by preaching, by increasing our preaching programs, by increasing our making of devotees and our sankirtan. Then the facility is there. From that preaching, everything follows. So, needless to say, we have so many other angles of vision on preaching and distributing books. So one angle is that this weekend is the celebration of Mother's Day. So I want to take the opportunity to encourage all the devotees. This is the biggest, next to Christmas, these are the biggest two shopping days of the year. Everyone is naturally affectionate towards his mother. And so they are all out tomorrow, Friday, and the following day, Saturday, purchasing like anything. And then Sunday is the biggest day for restaurants, where they're all eating. So these 3 days, we can't miss these opportunities. We should take full advantage how the people are out at the shops and stores buying things for their mother. They're in a very happy mood, materially happy mood. So that is very favorable for meeting a devotee. Generally, they're miserable. Once or twice a year, they pretend. They think of something like this, and then they become a little bit relieved, or a little bit, they feel some little material happiness, which is simply a reflection. As Srila Kirtananda Maharaj was explaining, the real mother is Mother Hare. Anyway, this is a reflection of some happiness. So we should take the opportunity to meet them. We're always meeting them when they're miserable, and it's very difficult. So especially the whole community should go out this weekend to meet these people while they're happy. Very good opportunity to give them Prabhupada's books.
How are the mothers at New Dwarka honored on Mother's Day? Srila Ramaswamy.
We were discussing this point on the Mahabharata as we were driving from Colorado. And we felt that we wanted to offer a special benediction to all the mothers on Mother's Day. This is a transcendental benediction. We wanted to give them the benediction of being able to distribute Srila Prabhupada's transcendental literature and thus become very dear to Srila Prabhupada. That is our offering to all the mothers on Mother's Day. You go out and you tell everyone to take these books. It is the best gift for their mother. It's special. You can preach about this. You give flowers and whatever. So we should take full opportunity of this weekend and make it a marathon. I want the whole community to have a Mother's Day marathon. We've been doing this every year. So we should especially do it at this time. We will get strength from Lord Nisringadev and from the visiting acharyas.
I can tell you that I was up in Portland. It was 1975. It was Lord Nisringadev's appearance day. So it was a Saturday, which was our biggest distribution day. So all our Sankirtan men were very concerned, you know, about how they would be able to go out and distribute if they had to fast. But I told them, we're going to fast, and Lord Nisringadev will give us the power to be able to continue even though we're fasting. And everybody fasted until 11 o'clock at night. They didn't eat anything the whole day. And we had the biggest day in many, many months. We had our biggest day on that day. I mean, they became completely empowered by Lord Nisringadev. So it doesn't matter that you're fasting. You can do it. Maybe there's some prasadam you can find tonight. Is there any prasadam tonight?
We have some prasadam to distribute.
Is this all that's going to keep them going? Where's the president? Is there some prasadam tonight? Good luck.
So I have one more announcement to make. You will be very interested to know that since I have been with Srila Goswami Maharaj, we have been discussing the glories of prasadam.
Only discussing?
No, we have... We were waiting to come to New Dwarka to do something about those discussions.
That's right.
So anyway, together we are relishing prasadam in the style that Srila Prabhupada was taking. So in this way, I am trying to follow Srila Prabhupada. I actually want to follow Prabhupada in every way. What to speak of, I have so much experience of being with Prabhupada when he was taking prasadam. I've never acted on it properly. My habit was to eat whatever was offered in the American style. But gradually, I think the devotees saw that I was simply nibbling. A little bit in the morning, a little bit in the afternoon. I was actually becoming very renounced by this other style. So now, I'm trying to follow Prabhupada's style. So probably my strength will increase by this. My ecstasy will definitely increase. And then I want to introduce this. We have got probably the best cooks of prasadam in the movement right here at this temple. But we're not taking full advantage. We have one cook or two cooks who are working in the kitchen like anything. And all the other cooks, they're not participating so much. So, gradually by Srila Goswami Maharaj's association, I may become a great fanatic.
Expert at eating and sleeping like me. This is the benefit of my association. that he was renounced and had given up eating and sleeping. And now, by my association, he preaches about eating and sleeping.
Anyway, it is transcendental. So then, by my becoming more attached to the prasadam, then I can help everyone become more attached to prasadam.
So let's begin to help them. Everybody can come up and just do marsh. In the meantime, you can lead us in a nice kirtan. Everybody should take a cookie and then go and take rest.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.